This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It has been quite a day. It has been quite a week. Oh, man. There has just been a whole bunch of stuff going on this week. First of all, this weekend, my wife and I are going to run down to Oklahoma City to see her Aunt Annette. Everybody just calls her Aunt Annette, who probably is not much longer for this world, so this will probably be the last visit. And we also are trying to get arranged to where we're going to see her Uncle Dewey, who is not long for this world either, so this may be the last time that we see him. So it's an important trip. We are going to leave tomorrow. I'm going to drop Aiden off at school, and then my daughter is going to pick Aiden up from school. So there's been the kind of background stress of, you know, getting all those arrangements in place and wondering how that's going to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I had that, plus we were trying to get closed with the missions boards this week, plus I'm still not on track for my writing, but it's okay. I'm not back to 10,000 words a week because there's always something that's coming up. However, I know where I'm at with all of this, and I know it's going to be fine because the next writing sprint is in July. By that time, I go to halftime. So, I mean, that buys me an extra, whatever, 4 hours a day, which is an enormous amount of time for writing. So it's not, you know, there's not really going to be any issues, I don't think, with getting book 23 finished because I know where it's going and I know what I want to say. And it's just a matter of getting it down on paper or in the computer, actually. So that's all good. So, but there is that overhead of, you know, you're not staying to your schedule. I'm like, no, I'm not, but everything's fine. And then, of course, we got this weekend and that schedule's gonna. So there has just been kind of a compounding, you know, background noise of all those things, trying to get all those things running. We just found out that there is a possibility that the daycare will not be able to take Aiden for summer school because they're down the number of workers that they need, which if that can't happen, we've got to get him slotted into summer school as much as they can, and then the rest of the time we'll just have to cover it. So, you know, there's a lot of things swirling. And in addition to all that, I had come off my fast yesterday and I had made some bacon. And I don't know if because I cooked the bacon longer than I normally do, because I had it in the oven and I had a meeting and we were trying to fix some things and you know, so we ended up I ended up just shutting off the oven, opening the door, letting it sit there. Well, that got it like really, really crispy. And I noticed at the time it was really salty, but I was like, yeah, okay, it's fine, whatever, you know. And so I ate half a pack of bacon and, you know, had made myself a couple of hamburger patties and had some eggs and, you know, just kind of your standard stuff. But I woke up this morning at 4:30, you know, to get ready, did some writing, and then went out for a run because Aiden wasn't coming down until 7:30. Got back, got my shower, got ready to go. We were ready to go. Everything's great. But man, when I was running on my, going on my run, I was just exhausted. And I had all the kind of telltale signs of being dehydrated. And I was like, why am I dehydrated? I drank yesterday. I should be back up to speed. Everything should be fine. Then in addition to that, I actually had a silent migraine, which I get from time to time. I think the last one that I had was 6 months, a year ago, because I keep track of them and what I was doing at the time and how I got it resolved. And I could not get this thing kicked. I was just not firing on all cylinders. I did, you know, do my deep breathing exercises, and I managed to keep it from swelling on me. When it surges on me, when I have a silent migraine, I actually start getting numbness in my hands and my tongue and my face, and I can feel it kind of moving through my brain. And when it turns up, because it's just an electrical storm in your brain, when it ends up going over my speech center, then I get word salad. I never got the word salad. I did get some numbing. I managed to get Aiden delivered, but like I was missing stuff. I was like, I drove right past Pleasant View. And then I kind of woke up and I was like, wait a minute, what just happened here? And so then I turned around, went back to Pleasant View, got Aiden dropped off. And then it was kind of a struggle even to get into headquarters, because I could look and see the names of the signs, and I thought I had turned down the right road, but... And then I tried to get my machine to navigate me to it to help me out a little bit, and it wouldn't work, so it was like, but anyways, did get there. Then we had, at the same time, we had some problems with closing when we were trying to haul across records from corporate accounting. This was the first month that we closed since they ended the fiscal year, and I don't know who did what, but we had some transactions that were marked for 2025 fiscal year, which was closed in March. I think that's what happened. And so we were getting these extra records in that we weren't matching against anything, and so we were out of balance. And they were getting weirdly dropped at the wrong times, and so we couldn't even see them. And so this morning, I knew I was underpowered this morning, but I managed to get an email sent to George and managed to call George and say, George, we need to get Rusty in right now. Because I said, I've got a silent migraine. I'm going to be underpowered. There's just no way. We've got to get Rusty in. So we contacted Rusty, called him, explained kind of what was going on. He very graciously decided to come in. We fixed the problem with AGUSM, turned around, ran AGWM, had exactly the same problem with AGWM. Exactly the same thing. We had, whereas in AGUSM, we had four transactions that were weirdly marked in terms of their fiscal year. We had like 21 in AGWM that we were off by. So, you know, we got the divisional accounting, got accounting to roll those out and put in reversals for them. So we got those out of the way. And then as it turned out, when we were trying to get closed, corporate accounting had actually made another entry. Which I think they're supposed to wait on that until we get closed, but they went ahead and made it. And so then that threw us off balance again. So then they put in a reversal for that one. And then finally we got the journal entry stuff going. And I needed to leave and pick up Aiden. So I left Rusty with Mel, and they were watching as the rest of it went through, and you know, ta-da. So hopefully they were able to get the rest of that put through. But it just seems like here lately that we have lost too much institutional memory. And there's like people who don't know the things that were all just sort of common knowledge before that no one did. And so we've got new people who are doing things that don't error off, that seem like they're an okay thing to do, but actually cause problems down the road. So it's an exciting time. But you know, we're working through it. We are working through it. So I went ahead and left after they had the journal entry stuff working, and we're trying to get the rest of the way closed. We are closed on AGUSM at this point, the United States mission stuff. They're trying to get closed on world missions so that they can send out checks tomorrow, which is the 9th, which we try to have the checks out by the 10th, so that's fine. I am going to be gone tomorrow, and Darren Yarborough, who's the other guy who kind of watches over some of this, is going to be gone, but Mel will still be there. So hopefully they'll, if they can get closed with EOM 1 today before everybody leaves, then usually EOM 2 is fine. It just, you know, does the thing. Anyway, so that was very exciting because there was several hours there where I was significantly underpowered. And it's just very interesting, you know, because I was having this storm in my brain. And now that I look back on it, I really suspect that most of it was due to dehydration and then the stress on top of the dehydration. So the moral of that story is if you overcook your bacon and it gets really, really, really salty, you should not eat a whole bunch of it. Now, I did eat some of it for lunch, and so we'll see how this goes tomorrow. But I really don't have anything going on tomorrow. I just have to get Aiden to school. And if I get him to school, then Lizzie's going to pick him up, and she's very capable. She'll be fine. And so that should be fine. And, you know, there's resources there to help AGWM get closed tomorrow, so that should be fine. And so, yeah. And I'd like to say I'm going to try to get rested up this weekend, because I've been pushing pretty hard for the last several months, you know, because it's the get up 4:30 in the morning and you got to get in bed by 9:30, and sometimes that slips to 10 and it's just chipping away at you. You know, you're just not quite getting enough sleep. And last night I didn't get to bed until 10:15. So that means I wasn't even getting 6.5. I was only getting 6 hours and 15 minutes. And I know from me that once I get 5 or under, forget it. I'm just blitzed the next day. I can't function. So, used to be I could function well. I could function fine on 6. But I may be getting to the point where it really needs to be at least 6.5. Which is another thing I'm looking forward to once I go to halftime. Because I should be able to adjust my schedule to get 8 hours. That just seems glorious. Go to bed at 8:30. Get 8 hours. Get up at 4:30. So we'll see. We'll see. As of right now, my brain's a little tired. But I'm doing okay. I feel like I got all my wits back about me. And I know where the school is. I know where the cutoff is. I'm not missing stuff. I mean, I was missing stuff. My reaction times were slow. I was driving in and a car in front of me had put on their brakes and I hadn't even noticed they had put on their brakes for a couple of seconds, and then I had to really slow down and then I had to kind of swerve to keep from hitting them, and then there was a car coming the other way and I finally managed to get slowed down enough that I pulled back into the lane and the guy went around me and Aiden was sitting in the back seat and he went, "That was close." And I said, "It was close, buddy." It's so funny. He's so funny. Because when he wants to, he communicates so well. And then the rest of the time, he can be sometimes a little pill. So fascinating. So anyway, so there's all that. The writing is going fine. I know where I am. I just am not making my words. The costumes are going fine. I'm finishing up with OOTD Day, which stands for Outfit of the Day. Day. And so it's going to be cute. It's just fun. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous fashion. It's made all out of pool inflatables, plus I have these strings of quasi-pearls draped down from my arms that I'm going to have that just have little small plushy plush toys connected to them that are dinosaurs and that are fish and that are, you know, just little animals. It's ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So that'll be fun. It'll be fun. Just crazy. I don't know how people are actually going to take a picture of me, because this thing sits on my shoulders, and the giraffe that's on top of it is 5 feet tall. So it sits, I'm 6'2", so it sits on my shoulders. So that puts me down to about, you know, if you subtract my head, that puts me down to somewhere around 5 feet, maybe 7 inches, 5 feet, 6 inches, 5 feet, five maybe. And then I've got a 5 foot, I've got a 5 foot giraffe on top of that. So I'm literally 10 and a half feet tall in this thing. The only place I could really wear it is Walmart. So yeah, there you go. I suspect there will be some laughter, and that's the whole gig. So it's not until the end of June, but I actually need to get it done now, because the end of July is going to be Marvin the Martian Day again, and I've got some rebuild I need to do on that, and so I need a couple of months to get that rebuild done and kind of get some things squared away that I didn't quite have working last Marvin the Martian Day, and I'm hoping that's going to make the Marvin the Martian head lighter. So if I can get all that done, then coming up in August, I'll have Potato Day that I'm going to try to make a Mr. Potato Head with. To do that, though, I'm going to have to get a 3D printer, and then there is a way with the 3D printers to actually take a small model and zoom it up and then slice it and then do the different things and then glue the pieces together. So basically I'm going to do a Mr. Potato Head body that where the head of it will come out just underneath my chin. And then I'll make a hat that will fit over my head with eyeballs in it. And then I'll make pieces that can be stuck to the potato body. And then I'll have, you know, my arms just in a white Zenti suit with big gloves, and then my legs sticking out the bottom of the Mr. Potato Head with feet for it. And my legs and arms are going to be longer than Mr. Potato's heads are, but it'll be close enough. And it will have a bunch of different pieces, theoretically, with pegs so that people can, you know, kind of rearrange things on me if they so desire. All is well. And this week, I was 7 weeks away from going to halftime. When I get back on Monday, I'll be 5 weeks away from going to halftime. So once I went to that countdown, George asked me, he said, "So you're really looking forward to this, aren't you?" And I said, "You know, I really am. I really, really am." So yeah, so we'll see how this all goes. Aiden will be here in about 10 minutes. I did listen to a very interesting podcast between Jordan Peterson and James Lindsay, who apparently has his doctorate now. And so he's on there as Dr. James Lindsay. For those who might not be familiar with James Lindsay, he was part of a group of three researchers that made up bogus papers about gender issues and actually got them published. Like, one of them was something to the effect of dog parks. Do dog parks represent race? Not race, rape culture. Because, you know, and they had said in this paper something like that they had interviewed 10,000 people in dog parks concerning the sexual orientations of their pets. And so that was how they came up with their conclusions in this paper. And these papers actually got approved for publication. I think they had done, they'd done a bunch of them. And they got some of them approved for publication, and some of them were pending, and then somebody ratted them out that it was all just a joke. And so then everything shut down at that point. But they got some of them actually published. So it was funny because Jordan Peterson, the first thing he said, let me see if I can roll down the windows here, get a little air moving, because the... Oh, now the question is that going to cause a problem with the sound? I'm going to put a wind... This is going to be lots of scratchy. One moment. Sorry. Okay. I've never actually used this on this recorder, so I really hope this isn't bad. And if it is, I apologize. Let me make sure that it's still going. It's still going. Okay. That way I can roll the windows down, not worry about the wind kicking up on it here. So I think they call that wind cover like a dead kitten is what they call it. So anyways, apparently James Lindsay picked up a term. He said it wasn't original with him, but he had started to use it as he was watching what was happening in the marketplace. And the term that he had picked up and started using was woke right. And what he was saying that was that a lot of the techniques that were used by the woke left in recent years, cancel culture, criticism, going after for somebody for just misspeaking once, all those types of things where there's no forgiveness, there's only judgment, there's only condemnation. He was seeing some of those characteristics in some of the conservative circles if they were, like, maybe we'll say extreme MAGA. And he was calling that out and saying, this is not right. Well, apparently, he got in trouble with some of the more known conservatives for calling it woke right. And so they were talking about that. Because James Lindsay was saying that the behavior is rooted in the cluster B personality disorders and the dark tetrad, which is narcissism, Machiavellianism, psychopathy, and sadism. And he was positing that individuals who are part of that dark tetrad represent about 4 to 5% of the population. And they got into a discussion about how that, what a parasite always does is finds a storehouse of value, you know, where there's lots of food, lots of nourishment, where there are resources that can be compromised, et cetera, et cetera. And then it tries to parasitize that institution for its own personal gain. And it's absolutely true. And what was interesting was they were discussing, you know, the parallels between these things. And there have been people who have noticed this before. And one of the things they notice as a parallel is that these kinds of groups invented what they called a paralogy, P-A-R-A-L-O-G-Y, that manipulates language and values to convince you that they have an ideological system that solves all the problems of the world if you can just realize what's really happening according to them. So they create all these false narratives and basically say, oh, you have the secret knowledge. And this is the, we have the knowledge, okay? And they use the term with university as whale carcasses. That in fact the universities have been overrun by these parasites. and there is a loss of institutional legitimacy and the prevalence of manipulative behavior within there. So one of the things that they labeled these things is when you have a significant portion of the discussion centers on the mechanism used by these to gain and maintain, well, it said a significant portion of the discussion in the YouTube video centered on the mechanisms used by individuals to gain and maintain power. And Lindsay was saying what happens is these kinds of people create cults of transgression, constantly making more and more stringent boundaries that if you cross them, you are condemned, you are prosecuted. And of course, we see this on the woke left, but that doesn't exclude it from things that the right do as well, because it's all the same engine. It's all this grasping for power out of roles of resentment and victimhood. And, you know, they drew parallels between the biblical figures of Cain and Abel. That you get this jealousy because someone is prospering and you're not, and so therefore you come up with this idea of how what that person is doing is wrong, and the reason they don't know that what they're doing is wrong is because they have not been enlightened and they don't see the errors of their ways, and so then these people appoint themselves as those who are going to go around and point fingers at others and say, this is what you're doing and it's wrong and it's corrosive and you need to beg for forgiveness about that. Which we've all seen a lot in that. And of course, in the course of all these discussions, they came around to the dangers of unchecked online behavior and the need for greater awareness of the manipulative tactics employed by individuals. And one of the issues in this that's been something I've thought about for years is I think you've got two basic problems that turn social media into flesh engines or flesh amplifiers. Actually, three. So the first thing is they're free to enroll in. So you just take the cost of engaging in this type of behavior down to zero. If you have someone who had to pay, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month to offer, commentary, and then they lost that commentary, the ability to do that, then they're losing money and they're being punished because of what they're doing. You know, so... And the second problem is not only are these platforms free, they can be anonymous. And there's a whole lot of people that say, no, you have to preserve the anonymity of the web to protect free speech. And I'm sorry, I just don't believe that's true. When we are engaging in real life and we are talking to people, we are not anonymous. And it's part of the fact that you aren't anonymous that constrains people's behavior. So I see it as a problem. A, that these platforms don't charge anything, and that B, you're allowed to join them anonymously. And I think if people were required to, you know, add their social security numbers and pay for what they were doing, that would clean up a lot of this stuff. Because in cleaning that up, people would realize that if they misbehave and get themselves banned, they couldn't just cycle back around and take out another account. And then, of course, the base problem of all the social media platforms is they turn people into, for want of a better word, attention whores. You know, you always want to post the thing that's going to get you the most clicks and get you the most likes and get you the most comments. You know, and you're competing for attention from everyone else. And you're telling them, make sure you subscribe, make sure you like my video, make sure you leave a comment, because that helps me, you know. And people then are constantly being driven into narcissistic behavior about you know, you should like me more and you should pay attention to me because that's how I make money. And I just think that's a bad idea. And it's the reason that you will never have me say, if you like this video, please make sure to leave a like, or, you know, leave a comment, or, you know, join, subscribe to me. I'm never, ever going to say that, because that's not why I do what I do on social media. I use social media to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, tell people I'm praying for them. I use social media just to post videos of those who weren't able to see me in the store. Oh, hey, we're moving forward. I didn't think it was quite time for that yet, but we're moving forward. This is gonna start playing here for a moment, and I'll need to go ahead and shut that off when it comes up. So anyways, that was the week. It was an exciting week this morning, that's for sure. But I feel like I've recovered, which is good. And I wrote down in my little notes what had happened so that I can... No, pause. I'm telling you to pause. No, pause. Wrote down in my little notes what had happened, what led up to it. But I really, really think that at the end of the day, it just came down to I got really dehydrated. And I think the stress combined with the dehydration, you know, to cause a problem. So anyways, this is Phil Ferrand. I haven't made it home yet, but I am getting ready to pick up Aiden, and then we'll go home. And then Daddy will come in a few minutes and pick him up, and then we'll pray that all will go well tomorrow. Have a great weekend, everyone.